going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to Sync Music Mondays. Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all know what it is, man. We are elevating mentally, spiritually, financially, dropping gems. And, you know, we always hit y'all on a weekly basis, man, just with knowledge. Shout out to all the listeners. Shout out to people over in Nigeria. Shout out to the listeners over in Lithuania. I mean, it's crazy, man. We're charting in a lot of different places. So big shout out to y'all. Shout out for tapping in. And as always, we're going to start off with the word of the day. Something motivational, inspirational content. This is a personal favorite of mine. It's called persistence, wears down resistance. I know I preach that. I teach that. I live that. And essentially, it's always motivating people, man, just to consistently pursue your dreams. A lot of times things happen in life, get you off track, might get you down in the dumps, but you can't let those things derail you. You know, we don't refer to things as a loss. We refer to those things as experience, right? So it's never a loss. It's just experience in regards to what doesn't work and how you could flip that, right? We remix it. Like in the music world, we say do the remix, right? So if you see something doesn't work, flip that, remix it so you can get back on track. And that is the word of the day. Now, y'all know that, you know, for our company, we get music and television and film, but we don't just focus on music. We have people that come on here with different views, different perspectives. You know, we had MG, the mortgage guy from Earn Your Leisure, motivational, inspirational people, because it's not just about the music, it's mind, body, and soul. So today, we have a dynamic, special, phenomenal guest. She is just amazing. Very, very well thought out, very well spoken. Her views are dynamic. And today, y'all are going to get a glimpse into her brilliance, right? And this is no other than she is a psychotherapist. She is a sexologist. No other than Tara Davidson. Tara, what's going on?
Hey. Talk about an intro. Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Listen, thank you for being on the show. We appreciate you, you know, just taking out the time to come on. We got a lot of listeners, and we told them that we would bring you on the show, so they definitely have some questions. And we'll get into that a little bit later on, but I know I kind of gave a brief overview of you, but can you just tell us in your own words who is Tara Davidson?
Sure. By the professional world, I am Dr. Tara Davidson. I am a clinical psychotherapist, a clinical sexologist, and a behavior analyst. My master's is in behavior analysis. I don't know. I'm a lover of life. Today, we're going to call me Tara. I am affectionately known as Dr. T as well. But call me Tara. I'd appreciate it. But I'm a lover of life. I'm a mom. I'm a Black woman. I'm a divorced Black woman, which is really important. I really want to get into that because I get a lot of questions about where I sit with divorce, because I smile a lot when I talk about it, and I'm in a really good space with it. When I talk about men, I'm not talking about them from a bitter place. And my divorce was a year ago.
And wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were 16 years together, 12 and a half years married. We have two beautiful, wonderful children. But I don't know. This feels like a second chance at life. When you get in a relationship with someone, you're getting in. I was young. We were both young. You know, you don't really know much of anything. So what's the point of being mad about something that created a lot of good things? We focus on the bad so much. We really forget about what was good.
Right. Definitely. And I think, you know, that's a great point that you brought up in terms of, like, you know, not focusing on the bad, but, you know, there was a lot of good that came out of that, you know. You know, I guess a good question to ask you, too, is, like, you know, we could just dive right into it, because there's a lot of people that, you know, they get divorced, things don't work out. Mm-hmm. What would you say for, like, people that, you know, maybe they're at a crossroads, right? Like, because that was actually one of the questions that one of the guests had were, like, you know, a lot of people that they know are in relationships where they've been together for a long time, but things just kind of ran its course. You know, are those things worth salvaging, or just, you know, just saying, all right, you know, enough is enough?
Let me answer the very first part of the question. What's the very first part of the question?
So the very first part of the question is that individual that that had asked that, they said that they had pretty much known a lot of people who were together for a long time, right? And they felt that things just fizzled out. They no longer were once what they were when they first started. So in terms of that, like, how do people navigate that? Because sometimes I feel like people hold on to the days of old, instead of accepting what's in front of them. And maybe that could be part of the problem too, you know? So
I'll say this. It really depends on who the people are in the relationship. It's such a case-by-case basis. For me, making this decision really came from whether or not when we came into the marriage, what was the agreement? You know, people look at the end of a marriage as a failure. But when we came into this marriage, we came into the marriage as a partnership to build things, right? You could just be with someone if your plan is not to build. But marriage is a legally binding agreement. You're signing a contract. So you at least want to meet your contractual agreement. And we reached our contractual agreement. We were young. I was 24 when I met him. He was 25, turning 26. We were young. And we got together. And when we were those ages, we didn't really have anything. I didn't have bad credit. I had no credit. You know, he hadn't built his credit up, but it wasn't the best either. We didn't own much of anything. We had just both gotten out of the military, both trying to start things. I'm trying to go to school. He's trying to launch a business. The one thing I understand that a lot of people don't think about in relationships is that when you're young and you're building, you're absolutely going to have a lot of strife, a lot of turmoil, because you're building something from nothing unless you came from a lot of something. You had a lot of people to help you out. But if you're doing this on your own, and we were on our own, you're having to, it's the long nights, the late nights, it's the financial difficulties. I remember we had $10 for groceries for the whole week.
Wow.
The entire week. Like, when you're building this kind of thing with someone, there's going to be issues. Like, you want to focus on the love, you want to focus on the joy, but you're hungry, you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
And hungry in a lot of different ways, right? You're hungry because you're trying to get it from a business perspective, and you're hungry because you have $10 for groceries to last for the week. So a lot of those things, these things build character, right? But they create something that we don't talk about in our community enough, which is competition. It breeds something in the home when two people are really ambitious, and then who becomes the priority? There are a lot of men that believe that the woman should kind of bow down a little bit to take care of her man, but she's growing and trying to build something as well, because the goal is growth in general.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's coming home and she has schoolwork to do, that was our issue. I had a lot of schoolwork to do. I have a lot of degrees and it took a lot of schoolwork. It took a lot of working and doing schoolwork. And at the time we didn't have kids, but was there necessarily time for us to dote on each other and love on each other? Not really. Because where did the time come from? He's out there grinding from sunup to sundown. I'm in here grinding from sunup to sundown. And when we come in, who becomes the priority? Do you know to just love on each other? If it's not taught, I grew up in a partnership household. So if one parent cooked, the other one cleaned. If one washed, the other one cooked. Everything, they were very partnered, but he didn't grow up the same way. So this matters when people are talking about relationships. How did your person grow up? Because what we see is our vision for what a relationship should look like. I can't necessarily say that people should walk away from the long-term situations, but what was the foundation of your long-term situation? We started with nothing. We have everything on the other side of that, right? But it comes with a tax. Who's willing to pay that tax? That came from, we lost ourselves and then we found ourselves. But when we found ourselves, we found ourselves apart. And a lot of those times, what we also miss is that when we're young in these relationships, a lot of these relationships and marriages were trauma bonds. Yes. So as you grow up and you start healing that trauma, you no longer have that same tie to one another, because now you're not fixing that hole within one another. So if that hole is resolved, what's the need for the person now, unless you've established something different to have in common? But then you might find that you don't have as much in common. So now you're holding up somebody else's soulmate.
Wow. You're dropping a lot of gems here. Wow. 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 That's deep. That's deep. Yeah. Now, you're right. Yeah. Trauma bonds, holding people together, and, you know, just kind of just trying to keep that thing there, but it's like the universe is trying to say, all right, it's done. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
And appreciating the universe for it, right? Sometimes you ever hear someone calling, your homeboy, your homegirl calling, and they're just complaining about the other person, complaining about their relationship, complaining, complaining, complaining. If their loved one walked in the room to hear how much disdain you have for them at that moment, would they want to be with you still? Like, this is important, because we start thinking that longevity is more important than health. And it's not. It's not. And what happens in these situations is that if you have a partner, and a lot of people have a partner, or they are that partner who have no idea what their purpose is in life. They have no idea what their vision is. And that person is more destructive to you. If they don't know what their purpose and their vision looks like, they're destructive to you because they're destructive to themselves. People can't be to you what they can't be to themselves, and this is where we get lost at. We're expecting somebody to have capacity to give us something that they're not feeding themselves. And then we're mad at them. When you got to be mad at yourself, because every day you can get up and walk out. Every day you can make a decision to say, you know what, I love you, but I have to release you with love.
That's, Tara, that's deep, that's dynamic. And that's crazy, because that's kind of part of it, because I'm loving this conversation. Like, we just flown with it, you know? Like, if these are a bunch of gems. Like, you know, I just interject every now and then because I just love hearing your content and your views, right? But one of the listeners actually said that as well, because it spoke to what you just said. That was a question that she had, you know, where she said her boyfriend, he's been clinically depressed in the past. She was dating him for 2 years, but she's saying that he doesn't get therapy, he doesn't get help, he always makes excuses why he can't get therapy. Mm-hmm. And it's basically draining her to the point where she loves him, she feels that this person is her soulmate, but she feels like she just needs to walk away because he's always down, he's always negative. And that speaks to what you just said. It's like, you know, sometimes you got to release people out of love. It's like, if they're not getting themselves in order, their spirit in order, their mind in order, they go through life complaining about the same things. You know, it's like a saying that says, I love you, but I love me more, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to take that step to protect your mental health and your spiritual health, because it's just a cycle, you know? Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. That's fire. So, you know, I had another question for you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Wait, I'm not going to ask that question just yet. I want to pivot, because when we talk about relationships, right, and people, marriage and forming these bonds, you know, we kind of touched on this off camera a little bit. Like, sometimes I think the constructs that we're trying to chase or that we want to be, it's like, you know, have the picture perfect family. But according to whose standards, right? Are these the Americanized standards, or are we trying to create what a home looks like for ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to what society imposes on us? So can you touch on that, like your views on that?
Yes, it's one of my favorite topics. Mm-hmm. The American dream was not rooted in us in particular as a Black culture, and really possibly not people of color in general, but I can't speak for other cultures. I can only speak about ours because I'm a part of it. But the whole idea that America includes having a husband and a wife, 2.5 kids, the 0.5 being the dog, and college, you know, going to college was seen as the necessity, having this particular 9-to-5, all of these things, having the degree, having the 9-to-5, having the house, having the car, having the kids, all of these things we speak of are all debt, 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 debt. All of these things cost money, right? But a lot of the people that speak of the American dream were also given a handout. Many of us did not receive said handout. We had to struggle and fight to get what we have. So this is why we're behind. And every time we would get ahead, something else would tear us down and put us back behind the line. So our dream, our idea of what a family, a household, a marriage, what these things should mean to us, we have to be able to create what that narrative looks like. For us, being a community type of people, a tribal type of people, means that, and let me speak on this part, because when I say tribal type of people, a lot of Black Americans, African Americans, are very disassociated with Africa because we didn't grow up in Africa. We grew up right here in America, born and bred. Our parents, grandparents, and even great-grandparents. So let me speak on this particular piece. When I speak of tribal and community, a lot of us grew up in neighborhoods where the neighbor could correct you. The candy lady down the street could correct you. You watched your mouth when you went out in public. You didn't start acting a fool. You weren't cursing the public because anybody could correct you and make sure that you knew better. And if you saw a group of older people, you washed your mouth or you lowered your tone or you stopped cursing. We don't have a lot of that happening right now because a lot of young people are greatly disrespectful, but because we lost that peace. We're losing that piece of communities. We're losing that piece of tribes. We're losing big mamas. A lot of us have lost our grandmothers. Our grandmothers, us losing our grandmothers makes us lose big mamas because our mothers aren't necessarily big mama. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge foundational part for us. So we're about to have to create the foundation of that unit from scratch. All of us watch soul food. Many of us grew up with that same feel. You're excited to go to Sunday dinner if you were lucky enough to have Sunday dinner. Or you're excited for Christmas and Thanksgiving because those are our foundations. We're a tribal community type of people. When it comes to our relationships and marriages, and yes, I would absolutely get married again. I get to ask this question all the time. I love marriage. I love the entity. I love the beauty of it. I love the idea of it. But I'm also a lover of love, but I understand the business portion of marriage. You have to move in a smart way. Just because a marriage ends doesn't mean that you've taken a loss. You got to look at what you've earned from all of it. But when I'm thinking about our homes, our households, we've got to do better with understanding and deconstructing what provider means and reconstructing what provider means. Because for all intents and purposes, a lot of women are providers right now. And so since a lot of women are providers, this is where our turmoil is coming from. The conflict is coming from because a lot of Black women don't want to hear anybody telling them anything when they've been paying all these bills and they're taking care of this and taking care of that. And then on the other hand, the guy wants to come home and the man wants to come home. And he's like, I just want to sit down and I want to chill and I want to relax. Because she's been working all day. He's been working all day. So who gets to win the fight of who's most tired? You know,
that's a fact.
That's what it is. And the reality is both people are tired. The current climate we're in is even trickier because some people work from home and some people are still going to work. So imagine the conflict there. If the person is working from home and they're home all day in the person that's outside of the house's eyes, they're like, well, you've been home all day. But the person's been working all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you ever work from home, you know working from home is a full-on task because you're in there doing laundry, you're raising kids, you're in there cooking while you're sitting here working, getting into meetings, getting out of meetings. You know it's this full situation.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you're probably working harder virtually than you did in the office.
That's a fact. Because your kids is there. You know, the kids don't respect it. You know, they think you're fully accessible because you're physically there, even though you got to work. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone that sees you in the home thinks that you're fully accessible now. And the truth is, your boss thinks the same thing. So when we're talking about if I'm going to present the idea of family and marriage and partnership and all of this, I would tell people to figure out what that looks like just for you and your person. And people have to have better conversations. I'm so tired of people wanting to be together because somebody is fine as hell. I'm so tired of that because somebody makes a lot of money. Like, these are very surface level things. In our community, we have a bad habit of making a joke about everything instead of getting under the surface of the things that we need to get under the surface of. And we make a joke because we're uncomfortable with it and other people are uncomfortable with it. So we laugh it off to make everybody comfortable when the person making the joke is usually the one that's uncomfortable. Because we do this, right? And it disregards our feelings a lot. And a lot of us are sitting and moving around with high functioning depression, high functioning anxiety, because we've been laughing everything off and not speaking on what hurts us. And then by the time you speak on something that hurts you, everybody around you is bothered by that. Like, how dare you speak to me about being what? Boundaries? What? Your feelings are hurt. We were just joking around. I wasn't being serious. But there's a little bit of seriousness in every joke.
Every joke, yeah.
We know that the truth comes out in there.
It's true. Yeah, when you speak up, you verbalize it, you become the angry black man, the angry black woman, you know, all because you're voicing your opinion, but these are based in facts, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, so yeah, I mean, that's truth, you know, and you know, I want to backtrack what you said too, because you talked about marriage and, you know, how, you know, there being a business aspect to marriage. And I feel like nowadays, especially with social media, there's a heightened sense of toxic culture, right? Like a lot of these social media platforms, they cater to, you know, just people's insecurities and people's bias. So, you know, if it's this toxic culture with some women where it's, you know, fuck a man, you know, it's all about what they can get from him, you know, or a dude like, y'all, you know, fuck these chicks or whatever. Like, there's always content, there's always memes, there's always quotes and toxic posts pitting men against women, you know. What's your feelings on the present landscape, and, you know, how can we combat that? Because I feel like, you know, like you said, we do need to promote culture, we do need to promote healthy relationships, we do need to promote love, you know. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
For me, I know we touched on this very briefly. Inside the household, consider the partnership first. And what you're going to bring to one another. What's your why? Why are we together? Are we together just because we love each other? Are we together just because we fear being alone? What's the reason? And is that well going to run dry? Are we continuously putting ourselves in a space of learning from one another and growing together? Are we willing to water our grass and water our roots and grow our trees together? The marriage has its business aspect, and you do have to protect yourself. But this is a matter of, when I talk about the business aspect, I'm not talking about running in there with prenups and everything. You could do whatever you want to do from that respect. But I'm talking about the fact that you're signing a legal agreement. You're responsible for this person. Like, this is the biggest deal. You're signing a piece of paper that now says, in the court of law, you're in agreement with being responsible for this person and their actions. That's a big deal. Like, a lot of people have watched, I'm going to use one of the worst case scenarios for our community. I'm going to use R. Kelly and Drea. Because a lot of people feel like she should be in jail too because she knew what he was doing. And for all intents and purposes, she probably should be. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there. I have no idea what happened. But she knows what happened. He knows what happened. And a lot of us are guilty by association. If we're guilty by association, that would mean your spouse is the association that's closest to you. This is the person that's making every decision for you in the event that you can't make said decision. Is the person that you're marrying capable of making these decisions without you? A lot of men that get married, that make a lot of money, they want someone that honestly doesn't speak as much. Doesn't give pushback as much. Because society has taught men, especially black men, penis and paycheck. You have these two things, that's all you really need. But that's what's shortchanging his mind. That's keeping his mind chained. That's keeping his heart chained. Because if you believe your value as a man is wrapped up in your paycheck and your penis, well, what happens if your erectile dysfunction kicks in? What happens if you lose your job? Now you are not a man at all. Because these are the only two things that we're bringing to the table. And if they tell women that her worth is wrapped up only in her ability to keep a man and have kids, what if she can't have kids, and what if she got a divorce? So now she's not even a woman anymore. When we're making these decisions, we have to know that we're talking about getting into a legally binding agreement with somebody that can make all the decisions that we're capable of making ourselves. That's what marriage is. This is why it's a business agreement. If you're running a business and something happens to you, now you're supposed to lean on your board, but your person is supposed to be your spouse that gets leaned on. They're supposed to be able to step in for you. So we do a lot of this stuff wrong. And if you don't want your spouse to do those things and you have a board of directors or whatever it is that you need for your company, you don't want your spouse to have to deal with that, then the spouse, what's the purpose? Because marriage is a purpose. There's a purpose for it. It can't just be love. Because love is a feeling. It's an emotion. It's an action as well. but it shouldn't be the basis of your marriage.
That's shaking the shaking the shaking the shaking the